Strength and Weakness is the title of my sermon this morning. We're going to begin with a prayer. As we gather today, we come before you with hearts yearning for renewed faith and hope. Life's challenges can sometimes dim the light of our belief, but we know that in you we find our strength and our purpose. May our hope be restored, not in our abilities, but in your promises. In this church service, may you remind each of us that with you all things are possible. You make all things possible. We place our trust in you, knowing that you are our anchor in the times of doubt and troubled times. In your precious name we pray. Amen. I don't know, maybe as a child we would have said this more often, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. But as adults, we think it. I can just think back to the things that I had problems with, like, I just can't memorize that verse. I can't take that test. I'm not ready for that test. I can't stand in front of people and talk. How will I get through my first parents' night of teaching? They're taller than 3 foot, right? They're big people. How will I do this? I just can't get myself to exercise today. Or better yet, when we do something that is embarrassing, we think, I can never go back there again, right? When you feel like you've just been so embarrassed. It took me years to learn how to laugh at myself. If I needed forgiveness, I would ask God for forgiveness. And I would ask him to help me find the humor in this. Usually it takes a little bit of time. Someone once referred to a mistake that I made by saying, referred to this mistake as pulling a Beth. Oh my goodness, you pulled a Beth. Because I do silly things, and I say silly things. That's who I am. When these moments occur, yes, I feel embarrassed. Sometimes I get so angry at myself, and sometimes I just feel weak. But how I react now, compared to when I was younger, is that I turn to God as quickly as possible. I know that in time, all things will feel better and get better. But instead of trying to carry a situation all by myself, which really hasn't worked, I give it to God much sooner. The more I turn to God, the more I realize my reactions were more like Jesus' reaction. It seemed to help to get past the notion that people would be talking about me. Don't we fear that when people will be talking about us in negative ways? Do these things still happen to me? Yes. Thought I'd grow out of it. But remember when Steve Chris was here and before we introduced him, he quickly asked me to read some verses for him, and I read the wrong passage and I was quite embarrassed. And I asked for his forgiveness right away and he forgave me. He actually adjusted his sermon to the verses that I had read rather than the ones that he wanted me to read. But I'm the pastor, right? Pastors don't make silly mistakes like that. I felt embarrassed. I was given Steve's forgiveness, and all of you forgave me for that silly mistake. I had to let it go, and I had to let it go from my mind. Let us begin by reading about strength of grace in weakness in the book of 2 Corinthians, verses 1 through 10. Starting at 2 Corinthians, Chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. Paul wrote, I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was the body or out of body, I do not know. God knows. I'll take a break there and share that Paul had experienced a revelation of Jesus on the road to Damascus. He experienced a vision of an angel when he was released from prison. And he had another vision when an angel came to him on a ship that would soon be shipwrecked. There were other visions and revelations as well. This of him going to heaven, he never spoke about for 14 years. All of his visions were relevant to his own circumstances, and we certainly need to be cautious when someone reports a vision regarding other people, people other than themselves who was sharing. And Paul would share of his vision at that point, the vision of the Lord that had come to him 14 years prior to writing this letter. He wanted people to know that the Lord had been guiding him all along. The vision included a time when Paul was caught up to paradise, a third heaven. Not the terrestrial or the celestial heavens, but where God's glory dwells in its fullness. He had waited to share about this until it was God's timing to do so. Again, he didn't want others to think, oh, he's better than me. He wanted to wait for God's timing. God had humbled Paul with this vision. Verse 3. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I say, what I do or say. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Paul had a difficult time sharing the things that he had seen in heaven. Perhaps there were no words to describe it. What words would he use to describe such a paradise? How could he direct everyone's attention to the heavens and not to himself? Theologian Clark has written, "It is possible that the apostle refers to some communication concerning the divine nature and the divine economy, of which he was only to make a general use in his preaching and writing. No doubt that what he learned at this time formed the basis of all his doctrines. His visions led his sharing. What he was doing and what he was sharing was coming from God." Paul dealt with a constant thorn in his flesh during his life. It was some sort of ailment. We don't know specifically what it is. Was it that he had vision issues? Remember, he was stoned. They thought he was dead when they walked away from him. Was it some sort of migraine issue, an epilepsy issue? Did he have issues with temptations? We cannot be sure, because it isn't written anywhere. But it is known that Paul dictated many of his letters. When he had the opportunity to write his own thoughts, he wrote them with very large letterings. Verse 8, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." Paul is very persistent in his praying for his needs. His prayers were passionate. He had prayed three times asking to be rid of his pain. Our lesson is simply keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Be persistent in your prayers. He also came to recognize that there indeed would be a purpose for all he had gone through. Sometimes we go through things and it's not for us, it's for someone watching or someone learning, someone else learning from the situation. But Paul was blessed to recognize that all that he was going through, it was purposeful.
He became more dependent on God when he was dealing with his afflictions. God does not let bad things happen in this world, but they do happen. God walks with us through these trials. He finds ways to comfort us. A more personal relationship with God grows as one's knowledge of him increases. God can take the negative and make it a positive, some way, somehow. Negatives can be turned positive. Here's a quote. God is able to bless us with positive situations and balance us with negative situations. Ponder that. God is able to bless us with positive situations and balance us with negative situations. So those negative situations allow us to turn to him, to grow, and to be able to see there's a lesson in this. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When things do not seem to be getting better for us, know that God is working on something bigger for us. He's probably pulling us back to him. Search for the lesson. Learn the lesson. Share the lesson. God is working for the good of those who love him, and you can trust that he is working for you, for your good, in all the situations you may be going through. Because we do not know specifically what the thorn it was in Paul's life, each of us is able to put ourselves in his shoes, no matter what our thorn may be. Taking care of others. Not happy at our place of employment. A physical disability. Stress. Finances. We can put ourselves in Paul's place. What did Paul do? He turned to the Lord. We need to take care not to turn away from God when there seems to be no response to our prayers. We need to be careful not to do this on my own, right? Verse 9 and 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, I am strong. For when I am weak, I am strong. First of all, when I would share with my mother, they're probably talking about me, or they said this negative thing about me, or what if they say this thing about me? My mother would always say, why do you think they even care? Right? Most people don't really care about other people. And then if they do care in a negative way and say negative things, then they're not your friends. And you can pray for them. But don't dwell on what other people are sharing or what other people may think. As long as you're walking with the Lord, find peace in that. Sometimes when people go through hard times, they back away from church. They back away from people who are very faith-filled because they're just not sure how to move forward in situations, but that's the more specific time that you need to turn to God and get into church and share with your Christian friends. Even when God's response is not what we expect or what we want, don't turn from him. When the doctor shared with my ex-husband and myself that my son had cancer, I don't think I was breathing at that point. That's not what I wanted to hear. That's not something I thought that I could handle. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. Curled up in a hospital bed next to my child, I prayed and prayed. And God was there for me. He allowed me to talk without crying to the doctors, right? I found some relief in the little things that I could, that Bradley would eat some food at certain times, and that I could help him during certain times. And he sent the most precious nurses to work with, and there were little things that I could find as blessings along the way. You see, God always meets our needs. Where we are, God will be. Your needs will be met. Pastor David Guzik said, "There are two ways to receive relief from a thorn or a burden. It can come from removing the load or by strengthening the shoulders that bears the load. Instead of taking away the thorn, God strengthened Paul under it, and God would show his strength through Paul's apparent weaknesses, through his apparent weakness." Do you ever feel that? God is working through you, especially when you're weak. God is working through you. Paul was leaning into the belief that God's grace is sufficient. Know that we receive God's strength when we recognize our own inadequacies. And then we need to turn to God for the strength to keep on going. God continued to give his grace to Paul, and he continued to raise Paul up. The Lord sees us. He knows us. He knows when I say silly things, do silly things, and yet he accepts me. He accepts us, and he loves us. The Lord does not cause the bad things of this world to occur, but he does allow trials to happen. Jesus was hung on a cross in our place to redeem us from our sins. And there was no human more meek, more loving, more kind, more filled with peace than the Son of God. In his total weakened state, God raised Jesus from the dead. God's power is made perfect in weakness. Trust God, especially at your weakest moments. Give the situations to God. I can remember getting on my knees in prayer for my children. If that's what needs to be done, get on your knees. I've seen people fall on their faces crying out to God. If that's what needs to be done, go ahead and do that in your homes. Cry out to God. Trust God in your weakest moments. Keep God first in your lives and fight through adversity. Whew, not easy to do. Recognize that God has a plan. Maybe record your thoughts. Maybe record your weaknesses. And in a week, a month, a year, 5 years, you may go back and read that note to yourself and discover what the purpose was, what the lesson was from God. In Jesus, we receive his grace freely, and we know that he is always with us. We can turn to him over and over again. Don't regret when your prayers remain the same each time. I think I've been saying that in several sermons, but maybe that's something I need, or maybe that's something that one of you needs to hear over and over again. Don't regret when your prayers remain the same day after day. He is so pleased when we come with him, when we come to him with these prayers. Jesus never leaves us when we experience that thorn in our side, that thorn in our flesh. The pain, the doubt, the fear, or the weakness that we may feel. Turn to him. His grace is sufficient for every one of us. Every one of us in every moment of every day. The grace of Jesus is adequate, necessary, and enough. Boy, are we blessed. Paul's weakness was turned into God's strength. The thorn in the flesh that Paul lived with allowed God to show a truly divine strength within Paul. Paul's strength was seen and heard by many who had listened to him. His words have lasted for thousands of years. He became completely dependent on God's strength. God's strength is always used for good. Paul said, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." His experiences humbled him. He turned to God continuously. He was trusting that God would lead him to strength and peace. And that is my prayer for all of you, that our Lord Jesus Christ will lead you to strength and peace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your boundless grace that empowers us in our weaknesses. Help us to claim our weaknesses, work to find joy in hardship, and allow us to be sources of comfort to those around us. May your strength be made perfect in our weaknesses. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.